Every year, the season of Lent calls us to this funny way of being that sounds like a contradiction. Get busy doing nothing. Embark on a journey whose destination will only gradually unfold and reveal itself to you. Stop trying to make things happen in your life so that transformation can occur. Clear out the clutter that you may then have space to overflow. But I don't think it's such a paradox to think of Lent in this way if you consider that all those things you are busied up with in your usual life are distractions from what is the core of your essence, your relationship with God and with love. My words today are few and to the point. Two animals are mentioned in today's gospel reading, a fox and a hen. "Go and tell that fox Herod for me," Jesus says. And a few verses later, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Life, it seems, is a barnyard. In this analogy, we are the chicks. Jesus is the mother hen, longing to hold and protect us from our fate, our encounter with the fox. The season of Lent, in a more deliberate way than the rest of the year, is our opportunity to shelter under those wings, to lie still long enough, to lie still long enough, to feel the loving, shielding embrace of Jesus. But we are not willing. And that's where the fox comes in. Because more than just a stand-in for Herod, the fox is anything that snatches us away from under those protective wings of God. The fox is what makes us anxious and distracted. It is the loss we can't let go of or accept. It is the thing we want more than anything, whose absence makes us suffer or feel dissatisfaction. The fox, sly as in those old fables we heard as a child, is enticement, temptation, despair, the glamour of the world. It is many things, but the fox is basically whatever keeps you from doing, even in this season of Lent, even with your church and your rector constantly inviting you, the fox is whatever keeps you from doing those things that will bring you closer to Jesus. Whatever keeps you from accepting those open wings of God, the invitation to rest under them and to believe, to feel protected and loved. The fox is what snatches you away from God's love. And you all have a fox in your life. What does it look like? Can you name it for yourself? Paul describes the fox's effect on us in his letter to the Philippians. "Our end is destruction, our God is the belly, and our glory is in our shame. For our minds are set on earthly things." But he continues, "Citizenship is in heaven for those who believe and are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, he concludes, "Stand firm in the Lord." I don't have a lot by way of illustrating my point for you. Just these two images I'd like to offer. First, I haven't really been following closely the war in Ukraine this week, just praying a lot each day. But I have seen, here and there, photographs that reveal the importance of Ukrainians' faith in their lives, especially at this perilous juncture in their nation's fate. There is the photo of a man in a square in Lviv, embracing and holding tight onto what must be a 30-foot wooden cross with a life-sized Jesus crucified on it, erected outside a monastery. Jesus from up above seems to be looking down at him as he clings tightly to it. And I saw a photo of a man blessing a group of soldiers with a metal cross. and another of a woman holding an orthodox cross to her forehead in supplication. Finally, I saw a photograph of a crucifix, hundreds of years old, being carried out of the back of a van by men who were trying to hide and protect it from bombings in the area because it was a precious relic. Now, I don't know enough about the culture of Ukraine to say whether their religion plays such a daily role in their lives when there isn't war. But I do know that these images keep cropping up in the news. And what they tell me is these people, under threat of death, are gathering themselves under the wings of Christ in their time of need for protection, even as they also struggle to protect and save their own country. As it says in today's psalm, though an army should encamp against me, yet my heart shall not be afraid. And though war should rise up against me, yet will I put my trust in him. I see these photographs as reminders of what we are called to do each day, whatever wars are being fought in our soul for its saving or its loss. Put your trust in him. The second image I would like to share is from Debbie Thomas, a Christian writer and a friend, who described her experience with hens at her grandmother's home when she was a child. She said, "I've seen mother hens gather their chicks under their wings when a predator approaches, the way they swell with indignation, fear, and courage, the way they stand their ground, the way they prepare to die if they have to, their children tucked securely beneath their soft, vulnerable bodies. I can't imagine a more profound or radical picture of our God. Can you?" This image speaks to us of Jesus' protective stance and vulnerability, that even with no guarantee that all will turn out well in life, resting under those wings against the assaults of the world is where we should seek to be, especially in time of trouble, but really always. In these weeks of Lent that we are traveling together, I urge you not to leave this church each week without taking some of its lessons and invitations with you. Don't just walk out those doors at the end of the service and pick up where you left off in life. Clean out the temple in your soul so that new and precious things may reside in there once more. I went to a birthday party Friday night, and as William and I were about to leave and saying our goodbyes, we met a woman who told us her story, which was basically this. 5 years ago, she was months away from dying. She didn't say why, but it was going to be an assisted death. In the time she had left, she told us, she resolved to figure out two things as best she could. "I wanted to know what love is," she told us, "what it really means for human beings and for me personally, to define it, basically. And the second thing was, she wanted to find out once and for all whether God exists." What she found, and I wish I could explain, but I didn't understand it, and frankly, I wasn't paying enough attention. What she found, she told us, was Christ, the face of Christ as light and force and warmth and all-encompassing love. Her face, as she told us this little story, was glowing, and she hadn't even been much of a believer before this, she said. In the moment, too distracted by my own cares and pure preoccupations on Friday night, like writing this sermon, I couldn't quite process or frankly, in some ways, believe what she was saying. There were too many questions in my head. How did she overcome her terminal illness 5 years ago to be here? What did she mean by finding Christ so powerfully? But we had to get going. William, however, was quite moved, and he told me later that he truly felt the Holy Spirit in her words and face. Which reminded me of a line in the psalm. "You speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. The moral of this story is, listen for the voice of God when it's speaking to you, even at a birthday party on a Friday night. Seek the face of God when it's glowing right in front of you, and don't turn away because of your own distractions, your own fox that is snatching you away from that revelation. Because the revelations are all around you. And your task is to stop what you're doing when God reveals God's form to you. Jesus longs to gather you under his wings from whatever fox would snatch you away from your true life. So learn the name of your fox and resist it. Put your trust in God, and you will yet give thanks to him, who is the help of your countenance and your God. Amen.